Welcome to Women in Pharmacy. Your host is a woman, pharmacist, educator, wife, mother, and founder of the Pharmacist Moms Group. Let's talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Women in Pharmacy podcast. I am back today here with Bhavna and Holly. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, great. It's amazing to be back on the podcast. I'm looking forward to our second series today. Welcome on board, Holly. What do you think?
Hi, I'm just really glad to be here this morning. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you guys this morning.
Perfect. So big news this weekend, or this past week, or about masks and mask guidelines and, you know, not wearing masks and should we be wearing masks and, and I think we need to talk about what the CDC just released about mask wearing. And, the president of the United States got on and said, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear the mask, So I think there is people have mixed levels of comfortability at this point still. But what are your thoughts on the guidelines and where we go from here, Bhavna?
Yeah, and it's so cool. I see that excitement in the air where people are so ready to get off their mask and try to get into the normal routine of life. As I follow, Dr. Fauci's latest guidelines and Dr. Rochelle Walensky, CDC director, I know they came out about masks and there was a lot of confusion, with retail's chains like Trader Joe's or Walmart's coming up and saying like, hey, you guys are okay without having the mask on if you're vaccinated. So I was looking at the science and the evolution. Dr. Sanjay Gupta addressed that on CNN, that would it be a possible error in declaration of this mask policy? So what I latest found is people who are vaccinated, even if they have breakthrough infection, their chances of spreading is lower because the viral load into the nasopharynx is not as high as against people who are not vaccinated. And the other quote unquote hearing that I see from CDC director is, take it as per your family, your people, your surrounding, what you're into to make those decisions. As far as kids coming back to school, I still see that a large proportion of kids from elementary and middle school are not going to be vaccinated until the end of the year. So I see that they still support wearing the mask guidelines and just follow everything and be on the conservative side. I would love to hear what my fellow panelist Holly thinks about it.
I'm interested to see how it plays out. I'm just continually watching the data and trying to keep up with the science. I know that we're learning so much almost every day. I mean, we're into this a year. We have lots of data on folks who were enrolled in the trials and now people who have since been vaccinated. So we have large numbers of data. But it did, to be honest, it did send a little bit of a confusing message as far as those who are vulnerable, the population who are still vulnerable, who for whatever reason, either, can't get vaccinated or are not old enough, children, younger than 12. And so I think that, just continuing to watch, continuing to see how numbers and cases and the spread of COVID. And I hope that we continue to see a decline, which I'm sure will make a lot of us feel more comfortable without masking. But I think, in general, the idea behind masking is really to protect others. It's much more valuable for the other person, protecting them against you spreading COVID to them versus right. You protecting yourself with the mask. So I think that we've all been in this spirit of protecting others. So it's kind of strange when we're allowed to stop doing something and we have our mindset of really protecting everyone else. It's a little bit scary to think about taking those off. For sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, as healthcare providers, we were advocating for the vaccine. I mean, we were obviously the first ones to receive the vaccine and we're some of the first to receive it. And, it feels almost like we're naked without the masks. And there's been jokes in the group, like, I haven't had time to wax my mustache or, I have all this acne and I don't want to wear lipstick anymore. So, people are still kind of joking about wearing the mask. And even myself, I went out to eat recently and the the waiter was like, you know what, I like wearing this, you don't have to see my face. So it's just, you know, it's almost like we've become more comfortable with it as a society. So, you know, did you guys see that post and a bunch of comments below it regarding the mustache? Not yet.
Yeah, it's amazing that you don't have to think about the makeup aspect. I mean, I love that fact, like, oh, I'm going to have a mask anyways, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that was a fun post we had in Pharmacist Moms. Yeah. You're right about that.
You just need your mascara, right? That's what someone wrote. Just put mascara on and you're good.
Makes getting ready so much easier. You only have to fix half of your face up before you leave the house.
Exactly. But I think you guys brought up some really great points. Some other things to think about with school-aged children is just the examples, because, you know, even at pickup, when I go to pick up my children, our school requires the parents who are waiting outside the building to wear a mask. And I feel like, well, I'm going to wear it because our kids are not vaccinated. So even if I'm vaccinated and I don't need to wear it outside, I think just showing them as an example, because they still have to wear it in school. They're still wearing it on the playground. So I think part of it too, you know, is just to serve as that example. But I think the other thing that was interesting is that I think we're going to learn more as time goes on and as time progresses as to how, you know, long the vaccine will be in effect and when we might need a booster. Because if you are working, and even if, you know, you're just exposed more to people who come in and they're not wearing a mask in your pharmacy or, you know, at the store you work at, that potentially those people might be the ones to begin to get sick, you know, a little bit faster. Potentially, it might not work that way, but I don't know if you guys have thought about that or read about anything like that.
You're so right about that, Susan. I was reading another article about the boosters. What happens after 12 months or 18 months of vaccination? Will the immunity be as strong? And I did see another article, I think it's from FDA, about, you know, their plans into the booster shots for future. So there's a lot of research, science, data that is evolutionizing at such a higher speed, you know. How to plan this once we're all open? Is it going to be like another flu shot thing, you know, an annual thing? So a lot is on our plates to find as this virus mutates. And recently we hear the variants in India, you know, which caused such a heavy effect on the entire country. They had to go back into lockdown. Are those variants existing? Will they be affecting the rest of the country? So globally vaccinating the entire world has to become one task for us to really come back and normalize our lifestyle and be prepared with the boosters. And of course the treatment, like we use oseltamivir for flu now. Are we looking into some kind of treatments in future which will just, you know, treat COVID? It's like you're positive for COVID, you have, you know, this is what's going on and this is your medication. So there's a lot of research happening on all sides, every part of the world. And I'm really thinking that this is going to be behind us for good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we know a lot more about COVID. So just looking back and reflecting from now, and comparing it to just a year ago, we know a lot more. I mean, there were times when I was purchasing my groceries and I'm like washing everything down. And, you know, I remember the first time we got McDonald's as a family and, you know, you're taking everything out of the carton and putting it into a plate and not touching the box and, you know, and all the hand sanitizers just within the house, where now I think we know a lot more about the disease, about, you know, touching a doorknob and all of the things, that we've learned throughout the year. And I think that there are a lot more medications out there now to treat it. There are definitely more treatment options, so that if someone is sick, we're getting a better handle on this disease. All right. Next topic, really, or question is, what has been the funniest post or, you know, anything that you've seen in the group or recently?
So yeah, that's good. That's so much fun. You know, as I scroll through, I look for some humor in my day. And this, all our pharmacists are on top of doing their vaccinations, you know, and Moderna, Pfizer. So I'm going to describe this like that. A patient walks into the pharmacy asking for a scar treatment. It's like, can you just guide me to what I should buy from over-the-counter aisle for the scar treatment? And the pharmacist jumps in and go, aisle number 9 on the left-hand side. Moderna. And then she goes, oh my God, what did I just say? I meant to say is Mederma. And so there's a whole long thread that goes with it, you know, Moderna confused with Mederma, because they're doing so many shots, their minds preoccupied with Moderna in there. So that was one of the posts, you know, most read post with a lot of comments on it.
Yeah, because our brains are just thinking about Moderna and the vaccine. And it's just like, you know, whether it's mommy brain or now it's kind of like COVID brain, right? That you are just mixed up with everything. But I saw that one. I thought that was very funny.
Let's put it like mommy's COVID brain.
Exactly. You know, and I think that, you know, the increase in just like working hours, and there's just been an increase in like levels of despair and anxiety. And I think we've talked about this last time, but I think, you know, we have to continue talking about it, that, you know, healthcare providers are under a tremendous amount of stress, anxiety, burnout. Women were already talking about burnout prior to COVID. I mean, that was one of the biggest things we were discussing. And now with COVID, it's been difficult. And recently, I know there was an anonymous post saying that, you know, from a woman who was just having a really hard time enjoying the moment, and that she was just worrying about the next thing to do, or what not to do, or what needed to get done. And you know, her kids were at school and she was home and she was off for the day, but she was still thinking about, you know, vaccines and work and checking prescriptions. And what do you guys recommend? You know, I know we all struggle with this. Many of us struggle with it, but what do you recommend? What can we do to help one another as women in pharmacy?
I think one thing I've definitely noticed in the group is just a rallying around everyone. I mean, this morning, I mean, I think it was just a few hours ago, someone posted that they love being a retail pharmacist, but over the last few months, it's been hard to, you know, remember the good stuff. And so this post, I mean, it's already got, you know, over 30 comments. And she asked, what's one thing you love about your job? So I think that being able to go to the group and be honest and vulnerable and share those things like, hey, I'm struggling, and have people that really get it is helpful to be able to talk through it. Remember the good things, remember what you do love about your job. And people are, you know, talking about the relationships with the patients and hearing their stories. And I love that too. I love when they tell me sweet little things about their grandkids or they have their, you know, 50th wedding anniversary with their partner. So I think that just having that support of somebody who really gets it, who's a mom, who's a pharmacist, who understands that, talking through it, just talking can help a lot.
That was such a great insight, Dr. Holly. And, you know, there's a saying that we use in India a lot, and I'll explain how it goes. You know, chinta is chitta. So chinta is worry and chitta is like grief. So that's where it takes you, you know, worrying's not going to take you anywhere. And also, like, as far as, you know, when the worry comes on you, worry is wired in our brain with the negative circumstances we're facing in our life. You just ask yourself the question, you know, I am worried. Can I change this? If the answer is yes, then you say, why worry? And then you say, I'm worried again. And you can say, you know, can you change this? The answer is no. The answer comes back. The other answer comes back. Why worry? Because you cannot change the circumstances. So they say when it's something that's beyond your control and you've done everything, there's something that you have to let go and just stop worrying about the things. So things that are in your control, you can change it. Things that are not in your control, why worry? You cannot change it, just let it go. So I've used that mantra all my life. You know, if you can change it, just go ahead and do it. If you cannot change it, let it go. I would think that would be a good mantra for all our moms who are listening today. I know that we all have different set of worries that we have, children, vaccine, workplace, you know, jobs, a lot of stuff. Whatever you can control, go ahead and take care of that. Whatever you cannot, just let it be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great. You know, I think a lot of people are commenting and recommending what works for them. And I think the other part is that realizing that sometimes you're going to have good moments and sometimes you're not going to have good moments, you know. And I think that I know at least I've seen a lot of people that go through, you know, a rough day and then you go through days that aren't. And I think, you know, understanding that that's okay too. Because there's tons of things. Exercise can help, or, you know, so many things. But I think that sometimes it is just really tough, especially with right now in the environment that we're in. You know, in terms of post-COVID, though, you know, school's ending now for a lot of the kids, and there's a lot of end of year parties, graduations, birthdays, summer events, summer planning. Even if you don't have kids, you might be attending summer events. What are your thoughts on getting together in large crowds, small crowds? You know, what do we do? Sometimes I know even for myself, it's like, I want to have such and such person over that I'm like, okay, I need to make sure they're vaccinated, and who's this and who's that. And, you know, because I miss a lot of people that I used to see, and, you know, so the struggle is definitely there. But at what point do you start planning and not worrying as much, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that it's, you know, it's hard to know what to do. And I think that it's going to continue to change and evolve as the summer, as we approach the summer and are into the summer. But I think that, you know, as far as my own comfort level, I'm looking for ways, of course, to get I have a 9-year-old, to get her out, to get her active into the sun, arranging play dates with friends outside. And I know that there are some friends that she has with family members who aren't vaccinated. So, you know, how do we feel comfortable integrating back with friends and with family who aren't, and if we are, and vice versa. So I think, hopefully more guidance will come out, but for us, we're still gathering outdoors when we're seeing people, making sure, especially with neighbors, that people are vaccinated. And I think that, you know, another challenge that we're
going to come up. Where do you live, Holly? Let everyone know where you live, yes, though.
So. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah. Because going outside.
We have outdoor areas where the kids can get together and play out in the neighborhood. But I think, you know, we really should like think about too. I mean, this is hard. It's awkward. I mean, even as a pharmacist, but normalizing or feeling comfortable with somehow discussing vaccine status, at least just being able to say, I'm vaccinated, I'm not vaccinated. So that you know how to be safe and somebody knows how to be safe and comfortable around you. You know, it's just, I think those are social nuances we haven't really figured out yet. What are you guys
definitely.
Doing?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I think there are a lot of social nuances, and I don't know the answer. What do you think, Bhavna? Because I think that I encounter those often.
And it's so true. You know, I just want to chime in. Just this past weekend, we had a big event, you know, a couple of doctors into our event together. And Holly, it's a sensitive place where you are to raise the question, are you vaccinated, you know, or do you have the mask on or you don't have the mask on? So it's definitely a challenge. But as pharmacist professionals, and, you know, it gives us another opportunity to educate them why it is important to have that mask on until our, so the doctor that I was hanging out over the weekend, you know, she's like, I understand you're all vaccinated, but what about children? They're not vaccinated at this point. You know, we're playing baseball outside, and it was kind of a fun thing, but that lurking fear is always there in your mind. So I think my advice is, being conservative will not hurt at this point. Another month down, it's going to be totally different. But until all the population is vaccinated, so I was looking at the numbers, 47% of the population is vaccinated. We still have a large number to be done. So I think till then, it's better and smart way to handle this wisely is go in tiers, in chains, and be more conservative and see what works for your family, what health conditions your family members have or your children have. And like the CDC director says, don't go off ripping your masks yet, you know. So I think it's a good idea just to go in a tier form when you're thinking about taking the mask off. And entire country has vaccinations. We reached some kind of herd immunity. We have more treatments for COVID coming out and stuff like that. So I think that's when we will normalize as such. So I will do some summer camps, but I will still be on the conservative side and take decisions on what works for my family.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. And I think it just depends on your family and what works for your own family. That's what I typically tell everyone, because I have friends who are still not comfortable with eating out in a restaurant. And I have friends who eat out, you know, or get takeout every night, you know, so it really just depends. And I have a couple friends who they still are cooking every single meal. So, you know, so it really is your comfortability and what you can handle and what's best for your family. But I do think there are a lot of new medications. And I think that's something that we should start talking about more. And maybe we could do our next one on some of the new medications and treatments out there, because it's definitely different than it was a year ago. Maybe we can review them for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, great. Any last minute thoughts or anything? Otherwise, we are going to check off the second episode of Women in Pharmacy.
I have one last thing to say. I think it's important to talk about, and I've seen recommendations in the group as well, but, you know, this is a really hard time for people as we've been, you know, in COVID at home, and now we're opening back up and going out, and a lot of people are having anxiety about that naturally. I mean, it's just a really difficult time. And I think also knowing if your anxiety or your fears, your depression, anything that you're feeling about as things are changing, you know, knowing when to go to somebody, to go to a professional to talk to them, or if it's beyond something that you can manage on your own. I think as healthcare professionals, there's a lot of stigma still, even for ourselves, with mental health disorders. And I think just knowing when to go to somebody for help is important too, because a lot of us could probably use that right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we need to be comfortable with talking about that and being okay with it. They're, you know, letting everyone know that there is hope, and, you know, and that and it can make a difference in the life of someone. So
you're so right about it. Just to add more and piggyback on this, I can tell you a lot of insurance companies have relaxed their telehealth guidelines, and they encourage people to use, you know, the mental health resources and services. The rates for suicides have been higher during this time and stuff like that. So it is wise to utilize those professional resources. We as a nation, we all know that we are all facing different forms of anxiety, worries, depression, losing a loved one, you know, that could be life-changing for you, and how to cope up through those difficult. I have a friend that I've supported through COVID days, and her grief was on me too, you know, as I saw her go through this. And I think, yes, direct, go ahead and use those professional resources. They can be your shoulders through that pain and grief.
Right. And I think most of us probably are grieving something at this point. It may be a loved one, but it also may be a change of our, you know, normal way of life, and grieving that and the changes that we're going to be going through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It could just be that you don't live close to family. I know for me, it's like, it's a hike to go see my family and to travel, and, you know, thinking about everything that goes along with traveling and getting on the airplane and all of that. So yeah, definitely. I would, go ahead, Bhavna. I think you had something.
Yeah, you know, so my last week was so tough, you know, like you, when you mentioned family, my family's far home in India. I have to honestly tell you, it was the toughest week, waking up every single morning to hear that somebody had passed away with COVID. You know, somebody who was pregnant and 30-year-old, and the baby and the mom both passed away. How do you process this? I had a family member here close by, and she just, you know, hugged tight onto me, and she's holding me, and she's like, I cannot take this news no more. And it comes to you. You wake up to those kind of news every single time. So how do you, you know, develop your own immunity towards it? You know, for us, sometimes it becomes a topic where when I visit home next time, who are the people I'm not going to see? You know, it's a big thing. My dad, my sisters, everybody's far home. So how do you handle this? And how do you, you know, live with what's happening right now in the world? So my closing message is, you know, let's all be one world, you know, one human, one race, and put this pandemic behind us where we start living a normal life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.